In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go.
Oh, yeah. Time to talk movies here. Pass the Popcorn.
Go to the lobby.
Brought to you by Bangor Mall, Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge with us in studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Thanks.
Oh, good. Be better if I turned your mic on.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe you're doing the people out there a favor.
You know, it's no carry today. It's me pushing all the buttons and trying to talk. One of them's got to suffer, or both. Let's be
honest. Well, you know, it's ultimately, like, you know, 75% of both. That adds up to 150%.
I like your approach and your math skills. That's very good. How'd your weekend go?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Cold.
Yes.
Very, very cold. And I'm glad that it appears that the ridiculous cold appears to have gone away for a few minutes.
Yeah, I'll take any kind of respite at this point.
Well, it's when you're outside walking the dog and it's like 19 degrees and you're like, I should put on some shorts.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's unbelievable. We'll see how things play out. I've heard rumors of temperatures into the 40s later
that's
on this week.
That's the word. Yes.
That's I don't even know what's going to happen. I can't even imagine how I'm going to react, how the dog is going to react. There's very little predictable about the situation as it's developing.
We're going to talk about movies here, but I wanted to chat a little bit about the Golden Globes last night. Always interesting. Sometimes a precursor of the Oscars, and then sometimes the Hollywood foreign press just goes off with surprises of their own. I was a little surprised by both the big movie winners last night, although, I mean, you've said they're both terrific movies, but Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri, and Lady Bird both getting wins last night.
Yeah, I'm less surprised about Lady Bird. I think that's a movie that Greta Gerwig's a bit of a darling right now, so that's not a shock. The love that Three Billboards got was kind of surprising, just because, and I think you'll see more of this in the weeks to come leading up to the Oscars. There's been a little bit of a backlash against Three Billboards due to what some perceive as a less than progressive attitude with regards to race and that sort of thing. I don't necessarily agree, but I could definitely see how someone would arrive at that kind of attitude. And when a movie's divisive like that, like, you just wonder if it's going to be able to muster up the support going forward that it might have gotten at the Golden Globes. And I was genuinely surprised when Sam Rockwell won for supporting actor. Not that I didn't think his performance was excellent, because it was, but I had I personally thought Christopher Plummer was going to win that award, and if he didn't, I was pretty sure it was going to be Willem Dafoe. And for Sam Rockwell to kind of come out of that with the win was kind of surprising. Allison Janney, less so. Like, I kind of expected Laurie Metcalf to win for Lady Bird just because she was so good. But I didn't know, Allison Janney's never won a Golden Globe.
Really?
Yeah, like, she has 7 Emmys and she's never won a Golden Globe.
Wow.
And so I guess knowing that, it doesn't necessarily surprise me that she would be rewarded, especially since, one of the things, I was watching the ceremony. Part of our family tradition is we take down our Christmas tree while we watch the Golden Globes.
Oh, very nice.
And so we were doing that last night. And I said to Sheridan that I was kind of surprised that it was Allison Janney over Laurie Metcalf. And she made a point, and it's something that I didn't really, I hadn't really taken into consideration, but I think it makes sense. Allison Janney in I, Tonya, it was a very physically transformative kind of role. And I know that those sorts of things, like, not to the, you know, gain 50 pounds, lose 50 pounds sort of De Niro extent, but they really, at the risk of sounding coarse, they really uglied her up for that movie in a lot of ways. And when actresses, when women especially allow themselves to look less than their best, they can sometimes be rewarded for that.
And another actor who transformed himself, physical appearance, but also in terms of his accent, James Franco, a bit of a surprise last night.
You know, I kind of had a hunch, just because there's something that people love about James Franco, and it wasn't a super strong collection of nominees in that category this year. So I'm not super surprised. Like he'll probably get an Oscar nod out of this, but he's not gonna win. Like that's he benefited very much from the distinction between drama and comedy musical. And that said, I mean, he's great in that movie. I hesitate to reward someone for doing what is basically doing an impression. But at the same time, like the sort of metatextual elements, the fact that he's, you know, playing a guy who's making a movie and he's also directing the movie sometimes as the guy he's playing. And it's all very complicated, very, very Franco-esque as far as that goes. So, I think this is the reward that he's going to get for the work he did on that movie. And, and I imagine he'll dine out on that for a while.
Now, not everybody loves James Franco. Last night, Ali Sheedy tweeted, "You want to know why I left the business? James Franco just won a Golden Globe." And then several follow-ups from women on that thread with some not too subtle hints that as the Me Too story unfolds more and more, James Franco's name may get called out for a far different reason.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things where there's no name that's going to shock you at this point. But, well, I mean, there are a couple. We discussed that a little bit last night. But his name certainly wouldn't be one of them. Like he generally has a fairly cavalier attitude about a lot of that stuff. And again, that's just an impression that I've got. I certainly have never heard anything other than the barest rumblings that maybe he doesn't respect women as much as he ought to. But again, like people who are on the inside would know far better than me. So who knows what's coming next?
Frances McDormand won for 3 Billboards. No surprise there. She's certainly an Oscar favorite.
Oh, she was so good in that movie, man. So good. And that's a strong category there. And you know, anytime you get the opportunity to, even if there is some of that backlash against 3 Billboards, like it's not going to touch her. Like her performance is just so strong in that movie that I don't see anyone mustering up what it will take to sort of bypass her.
One of her competitors may well be the young woman who won in the comedy or musical category. Let's see if I get it right based on what you told me. Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah, she's probably the one competitor that Frances McDormand has in the Best Actress category when the Oscars come around. Everybody else is you know in. It's an honor to be nominated category, territory. I like Saoirse Ronan a lot in this movie, and she's clearly very talented. It's one of the best sort of young person performances that I feel like I remember happening anytime in the recent past. But again, it's a comic performance. Like it's got, you know, dramatic underpinnings, but it's a comic performance. And getting rewarded by the Academy for what is essentially a comedic performance is really hard. It's really hard. And when you've got a performance of the caliber that Frances McDormand is given, I just don't see it working out for young Ms. Ronan. But you know, her time will come.
Well, she was honored. The film was honored. But the director, Greta Gerwig, not even nominated, as was pointed out by Natalie Portman last night.
It's such a weird thing. And Martin McDonagh won for screenplay, which that was a shocker for me too, because I thought Gerwig was a shoo-in for Lady Bird. Like that's such a good script. But again, you know, you never know what these organizations, you never know what sort of direction they're going to fall into as far as the sorts of movies that they embrace. And so, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's outlandish that Greta Gerwig wasn't nominated for Best Director. And you could make an argument for a couple of other female directors. The big one for me, and the movie didn't get a lot of recognition, which is kind of a bummer, like Patty Jenkins for Wonder Woman. Like the fact that she put together that sort of blockbuster movie in such a smart and engaging way. Like, you would have liked to see that be recognized. Gerwig, obviously. And that's not to take away from the nominees who actually were nominated in the category. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I'm sure The Post is very good.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, too, because The Post, my goodness, it was Spielberg, Hanks, Streep. Were you surprised that film didn't get more love? And is that part of it, maybe, because it's the Hollywood foreign press and this is such a uniquely American story?
I mean, I think that's part of it. I think it's such a key part of our recent history that it's difficult for us to understand that to those outside the United States, particularly considering more recent events, it's background noise to them.
Right.
Like it shook our country in a significant way. But again, it was 40 years ago now.
Right, right.
And you can't expect, people from other countries, other cultures who have their own histories, like you can't expect them to care that much about what is, in the grand scheme of things, a relatively minor occurrence. That being said, I think you'll see, I think it's going to get a bunch of love when the Oscar nominations come out. But yeah, it was a little surprising. I was a little surprised that, I was kind of surprised that Hanks didn't get a lot of love. You know, Streep gets nominated for everything, so that's not, Spielberg. I'm glad that the movie exists. I look forward to seeing it. I've already seen such quality films that I just don't see it leapfrogging some of the ones that I've already seen.
Well, one of those likely The Shape of Water that did get Best Director for Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, and I'm glad he won. I think he's probably the closest thing we have to a big budget fabulist who's currently working in Hollywood. He tells these sort of dark fairy tales with big budgets in a way that I don't think anyone else is really capable of doing. He's one of these guys who bounces back and forth between very intimate sort of personal affair and big budget, like giant robots punching giant monsters kinds of stuff. And then, you know, he does something like The Shape of Water, which I think kind of brings his it's like the very small sliver, the overlap of the Venn diagram between the two sorts of movies that he likes to make. And yeah, like it's the recognition that it got in terms of, Sally Hawkins, her performance has been praised to high heaven. Richard Jenkins, who's, as good as anybody in Hollywood, as I'm concerned. He's an incredibly talented actor. And despite the fact that we get a lot of, he gets nominated for awards fairly regularly, I still think he's wildly underrated as a performer. Michael Shannon's in that movie, Del Toro directs, and it's got you can't call him the king of mocap acting because Andy Serkis is out there, but Doug Jones, the guy who plays the sort of aquatic creature that's, central to the plot of Shape of Water, he's another one who he's at the vanguard of sort of inventing a new kind of cinematic acting, and they're doing it on the fly. It's pretty impressive.
We're talking with Alan Adams here on Downtown. Gary Oldman won Best Actor for his role as Winston Churchill in Darkest Hour, and that's a film you saw this weekend.
I did. It's funny. It's kind of a joke. The sort of they call it the Armageddon Deep Impact effect, where you get two movies of similar subject matter coming out fairly close together. Darkest Hour, and I didn't know this going in. But the story that it tells, the chunk of time in Winston Churchill's life, it's from his ascendancy to the prime ministership through the plans to evacuate at Dunkirk. And so to go from, Christopher Nolan's like big budget blockbuster war movie Dunkirk to this, sort of smaller and more intimate character study from director Joe Wright telling the story of what was going on at home. It's a really interesting contrast in terms of two different ways to tell, to relate the same sort of historical event. Now, the impressive part about this is, that's basically the movie. It's Churchill ascends to the prime ministership because he's basically the one that everybody hates the least. Halifax turns it down. Chamberlain's been, sort of ousted with a vote of no confidence. Nobody's really confident in Churchill from his fellow politicians all the way up to King George, who's actually the guy playing King George, Ben Mendelsohn is the actor's name. he actually does a marvelous job because King George was the king with the speech impediment,
right?
And he like, and it's very subtle, and it's very, but it's just like, it's like, oh yeah, that's someone who really invested in getting it right as far as the character was concerned. And you know, when you see little things like that, you know you're watching a good movie. But ultimately, it's, you know, this is a showcase for Gary Oldman, and a well-deserved one, because he is outstanding in this movie. It's so hard to play a real-life person in a movie anyway, and to play a person of historical import who has, A, been played a million times, and B, we all have a very distinct idea of what Winston Churchill looks and sounds like,
right?
And that impression borders on caricature, certainly for me. Like, it's like the, you know, the jowls and the harumphing and right. the cigars and all that stuff. Like, it's a very crude, like, stick figure outlook almost of who Churchill is. And to be able to find a way to capture those elements that are recognizable to the man, while also doing something that's your own, like, to, you know, you're not doing an impression, you're not doing a caricature. Like, you have to bring this person to life in a very distinct and real way. And to do that, especially when, you know, such an iconic performance as John Lithgow in The Crown that right. just happened, and Oldman's take is very different. You know, it's very it's nuanced, it's subtle. He's done a wonderful job with the diction. The physicality is incredibly impressive. And one cannot say enough good things about the makeup team. I don't know how long it took them to make him look like Winston Churchill, but like you could see Gary Oldman's eyes sometimes when you're really looking. But I mean, it's like he kind of melts away. Like the actor disappears behind this face that isn't his. And you know, too often when you're doing something that's makeup heavy or prosthetic heavy or something like that, that becomes what you see.
Right.
Like you're seeing the falseness. And there's none of that here. Like, it's just, it all looks very real, very natural. And yeah, when it's powered by someone who's as incredibly talented as Gary Oldman, like, you're going to get something that's really phenomenal. And that's what you get. And the rest of the ensemble, everyone else is very, very good. There's some really quality performers, Lily James, Kristen Scott Thomas. But yeah, it's Oldman's show, and we're lucky for it because he is just outright phenomenal.
Good year in movies overall.
Yeah, weird year, but a good year. Mm. Like it's one of those things where I think it's a nice sort of a nice gamut, I guess, of high quality films. And we can only hope that that 2018 lives up to the standard that's being set.
There you go. Alan Adams, Main Edge. Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure.
Pass the Popcorn every Monday on the program, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10. They have a film for everyone in the family. 557 Stillwater Avenue, Bangor. 21 till the top of the hour. Still to come, we've got the calendar, the good, bad, and ugly, maybe a tweet or two, and a preview of what's ahead for the rest of the week. It is The Pulse, AM 620 WZON.